We're now joined by activist and filmmaker Ira McKinley. Ira has been a longtime volunteer and supporter here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, so it's great to have him back after a long absence. Welcome, Ira.
Thank you for having me. Can everybody hear me? I don't know. I don't have my headphones on. But, hey, that was pretty exciting. You guys reading the headlines and all that, you know. And the thing is, though, you mentioned something about Michelle Alexander and the new Jim Crow in New Jersey not letting the inmates have the reading. And Michelle Alexander actually happened to be in our first film, The Throwaways, and she was a major part of the film. So me and my friend Jay, who's also here with us, we actually went to New York City to do a film shoot. So we were on location, and we happened to go to and this is how crazy the day was. It was very crazy. It started with us doing something at Staten Island Correctional Facility, where I was incarcerated until 2002. I was actually there when the World Trade Center went down. And then we were at the Occupy Wall Street. We went from there to Occupy Wall Street, and from Occupy Wall Street went to Riverside Church and did an interview with Michelle Alexander. So we used all bits and pieces of that for the Throwaways documentary. So she's always been a very integral part of my growth. So for that to happen, you know, it's a censorship of things that people want to learn or trying to learn. I mean, to me, it's crazy right now. You know, we have presidential aspirations, and you know, you got people like Trump being hired, and then Oprah being considered, and it's like, where is our real democracy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you really have to think about what's going on in the world.
Thank you. So let's just take a step back and let our listeners know a little bit about you. For example, where are you from, and how did you become a filmmaker?
I was born and raised in Ithaca, New York. I've been here in Albany for almost, I came in 92, so we're almost talking about, you know, 30, 40 years. Me becoming an activist as a filmmaker was tense from my homelessness. After the World Trade Center went down, like I spoke about, I was homeless for 10 years. So, and I felt the after facts of that new Jim Crow, you know, type of thinking, because it really affected me. And so just to get my voice, I started speaking up and going to, I actually created some marches and did some others. So I'm an organizer and did certain things in Northampton, Massachusetts, where I learned how to film for being homeless doing public community television, like The Sanctuary, you know. So this has been my start, working with people that really have stories and wanted to learn. And it just, you know, kind of took off from there. You know, the film we're doing now, Out of the Muck, is a historical film about my family and how we came up. And during the Jim Crow, not the new Jim Crow, but during the Jim Crow, how my family came to New York and how I was born. And they were migrant workers. And so there's some exciting stuff that happened back then in West Palm Beach. It's called Pahokee Belglade, where at this point in time, there's a lot of NFL football players coming out because it's so poor. But before that, Zora Neale Hurston wrote a book called Their Eyes Are Watching God. So in the book where the hurricane happened, like what's just going on in Puerto Rico, that happened in Florida in 1928. You can look it up, the storm of 1928. And so my family came down there because it was a Garden of Eden, and people just growing stuff because it was part of, and I'm trying to give you this in an 8-minute spiel. It was because it's a very interesting story. And so it was part of the Everglades, and they drained the swamps because they didn't want African-Americans in the Seminoles in Miami and West Palm Beach because rich people were coming there. So they made a space in the western part of the Glades. And they drained it, and people didn't know it was any good. And it was right there by the Lake Okeechobee, which is the second largest freshwater lake in the United States. And because of the vegetation from the Glades, it became very fertile. So they called the land black gold. You could grow anything there. So what happened after the hurricane, after they had, you know, people had lost their deeds and all that, the sugar companies came in. So this is where 90% of our sugar comes from right now. So it's owned by U.S. Sugar. You can look all these facts up. So, you know, they after that divested, after they took their invest out of Cuba, that's where they started growing the sugar. So 1960, still in the same path of what's happening in that area, Edward R. Murrow did a documentary called The Harvest of Shame. And it talked about the migrant workers and how they came up north. That's how my family came to Ithaca. So I wanted to tell that story because it's very historical. People don't even know it and how it ties into everything that's happening right now. It's also where Trump is. So Trump is part of Palm Beach County. He lives on the other side with the yachts and all that. So then, and then you go from that side to, you know, 40 miles away, and it's the, one of the poorest, you know, places in the world. Which is just shows you, you know, how what is going on in America.
So the new project, like you said, is called Out of the Muck.
Yes, Out of the Muck.
And so who, tell us about who's getting out of the muck and what is the muck?
The muck is, like I explained, it's the fertile soil. It's the story of how it was created and how they used the people against them. So the only way out of the muck right now is to play professional football. So, excuse me, you have a lot of NFL players that's come from there. As a matter of fact, on the Buffalo Bills, the two wide receivers, Deontay Thompson and what's his name? Number 13. He forget his name escapes me. He's a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He just came from the Panthers. They both come from the muck. And then you have Anquan Boldin, who was the Walter Payton Award winner of 2016, who just retired. He comes from there. You have Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson. There's a number of people. So per capita, it's the second highest. So the only way out of the muck for some of these people is, and it's a desperate situation, is to play football. Now, you got to remember, they have a history of AIDS in that community, and they had a history of the crack epidemic because of South Florida, and it devastated them. So the hopes and dreams is playing football. So one of the things we're saying, what about the females? What about the women? What are their hopes and dreams? You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't play football, you know? So we happen to follow the team, the Pahokee High football team, and my nephew and all my nephews are the coaches, and they were undefeated. So they won state championship in the year that we filmed them, which was 2 years ago. So to let everybody know, this is not some easy. This takes time. I created this film 4 years ago. We started shooting 2 years ago, but just getting the people together happened 3 years ago. And we're only at the process right now where we have interest with PBS nationally. So we're getting some funding from them to help us develop the story for a broadcast premiere on national PBS. But it's just, you know, the time that it's taking. It's, you know, I'm saying, I'm looking at this Me Too movement, and I'm like, you know, what about, you know, I Too? And I don't know if you ever heard of Langston Hughes' I Too. You look at me, I'm sitting there, but I'm eating food, and I grow stronger. You don't have me out there with the company, but soon I will grow. So I'm saying, you know, we're forgetting some of our people in the history. So the goal of Out of the Muck is to show certain things that was happening. What's happening in Puerto Rico right now happened in Belgrade, Pogue, and the Glades, and South Florida in 1928. That hurricane killed 3,000 people. So people talk about Katrina, they talk about what just happened, but there was a very devastating flood and hurricane that happened in Belgrade and Pogue, right on the lake. Right on the lake of Lake Okeechobee. So that lake over, so that's how the Army Corps engineers had to build a dike all the way around it. Very interesting story. So, you know, just developing the story of, you know, coming through the eyes of my family. So my mother and father met there and got married there. And then moved us to Miami, but I was born in New York with the migration. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff. And, you know, we're working with some great filmmakers like Sam Pollard. And Sam Pollard did Slavery by Another Name. He did a lot of Spike Lee stuff like Crooklyn, Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever. He did Juice with Tupac. So he's an editor and producer. And just being able to go to the city and work with him, you know, and him asking us questions, you know, just literally asking us our opinion. And we're like, whoa, this great filmmaker, you know, who's done many of things is asking us what we think. But it's our story. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point where, you know, the creativity is why it's taking so long, you know. And it's a struggle as a filmmaker, you know what I'm saying? It's true. You run out, you run up your credit cards and all this. You ask for donations. People think I'm begging, but I'm not begging because I want to produce this. I know it's a very powerful film, and I want to produce it. But it's like, you know, that's just, you know, trying to develop it. You know what I'm saying? So just to get people interested. And the thing is, we do have, you know, some people that's interested in this, in what we're talking about. Like Pierre Lawrence, where we're at a table, you know, where we're trying to get funding in Tribeca and all these other places. So, you know, just to have that chance, that's my shot. From coming from somebody who was homeless to learning how to film and edit through community television radio. I remember how I met, you know, the people here, Steve and Brenda and all them. It was by us doing a peace conference in 2010. And I had just came back. And me and Jay, was like, give him a chance. And Jay Wilcox has this long beard. He looked like one of those moonshiners. You know what I'm talking about? The men from the mountain. So I'm like, who's this guy? You know what I'm saying? But you can't do by perception. He's the hippest guy there is. He just looked like a mountain man. So, you know what I'm saying? So what you're seeing is we have to tell our stories. This is the way to tell our stories. All right. Community radio, community television is the way to get out there. If I can do it, from being homeless, sleeping in a tent, and that's in the throwaways, to being at a point right now in my life where I have these filmmakers judging my film to see if they want to fund it, and we know they want to fund it because they wouldn't be working with us at this point after 2 years. But it's also hard because they tell us, yo, you guys need to go back to work and develop it. So you don't want to hear that as a filmmaker. You think you already know, yo, this is a masterpiece. They're like, nah, you need to do some more work. So it's like being humble. You know, and there's a lot of things that with that, because that's my pride. Now, as an activist, it's different with me because there's some things that we have done here and that we have created. And I know how they come at you for speaking up. So I know that culture of being scared. And with my history, and I've learned my history, is that they would lynch us. They would cut our tongue. They would put us in peonage. They would do certain things to you to shut you up. You know what I'm saying? They would do certain things to your family. You know what I'm saying? They would separate you. Same thing they're doing now with the prison system. They separate these families. And me being in prison and being in, you know, that's the awareness. So how can I change the world? That's the thing. You seem like you want to say something, because believe me, I'll take up the time. You won't have to say nothing. I'll go off.
So, no, I mean, it's great. And so the story is about struggle. I mean, your own story has a lot to do with struggle. What about inspiration and thoughts of the future? People in the community where the film is focusing on and even yourself, you know, how are they inspired? Where are they looking towards in the future and where are you looking towards?
I just want to be able to create stories. And, you know, just to have the people in my life, you know what I'm saying, has not been easy. Like I said, we met in 2010. That's been 8 years ago. This summer will be 8 years, you know what I'm saying? And from where I was at, it's like every time, the creativity is that you can't give up. You know what I'm saying? It's a struggle out here. You know, they know that rhyme? Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep on going under. Yeah, that's, you know what I'm saying? But that's the thing. You have to keep going. You know, and most of my heroes or sheroes have been women. I look up to Angela Davis's. I look up to the Michelle Alexander's, you know, the new ones. You know, I've met them. You know, I went to the Black Lives Matter conference and met, you know, the founders, Patrice. You know, one of my good friends is Rosa Clemente. She did some stuff with us. She was just on, you know, at the Golden Globes with, what's her name, the actress. Well, anyways, she went there with Susan Sarandon, you know, who presented her because of Puerto Rico. So these people are the ones, and my mother, and just knowing that struggle. You know what I'm saying? My father was a tough man. He told me we'll talk about John McKinley. That's a whole nother story. And my father could not read and write. He had a third grade education, but he brought a family of six up north, and he used to drive us down to Florida. So he was illiterate, but he knew how to travel. He had a driver's license, and he used to take us down to Florida so we wouldn't forget those roots. Then he was shot and killed in 1979, so a lot of this story, you know, continues. And then for you to see how this nation has been being formed and what's going on, and for women to say Me Too, and then that's why I'm saying, well, I have, you know, I get kind of upset because, you know, what about I Too? What about the shooting of these young Black men that just happened with the police, the lynching, you know, all these things? And I'm like, what about, you know, and I have to go through Langston Hughes. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I these guys, I'm going to tell you, the people I've met, the white people I've met are like abolitionists to me who want to fight the power. This right here to me is part of an abolitionist movement for everybody. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of things, but I just don't want you to forget the struggles of those who were, you know, who came before us. And I'm talking about Marcus Garvey, Frederick Douglass, you know, so I could go on and on, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you know, many people that, you know, struggled and had their life taken from them because of it.
Thank you, Ira.
Yes.
That was activist and filmmaker Ira McKinley. Again, he's been a longtime volunteer and supporter here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. His film projects are The Throwaways and Out of the Muck. You can look for Out of the Muck on Facebook.
Yeah, well, you can look at it for ITVS. If you go to the ITVS website, you'll see the topic and the summary and all that for Out of the Muck. We're still in pre-production because, like I just said, they wanted us to, you know, tighten it up. So that's what we're in the process of, you know. But I appreciate for letting you let me come out here and talk, you know. And power to the people. We're at WOOC 105.3 in Troy, New York. Sanctuary, independent media.
Thank you, Ira. That was wonderful. That was local activist and filmmaker Ira McKinley talking about his new project, Out of the Muck. Look for it. We're joined now